warrior's mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Okay, everyone. Welcome to Willie Bam Johnson's Warrior's Mindset. You know how we do it, mind, body, and spirit. We bring it from the inside out. The inside out is to change the next generation, to empower them and make our world a better place. Why? We take the principles of martial arts, we flip the script, and we do our very best to overcome the obstacles and the pitfalls in the world today. Even if Corona is the thing that's standing in front of us, you got to get up, you got to keep on pushing, and just don't quit. Anything is possible if we take the mind, body, and spirit principles of the martial arts and use them to push forward. You know, we've been having a lot of great guests. I mean, this is an incredible show, but it's bigger than me. It's us coming together. Someone that I look up to real dearly. And a lot of times people I look up to, it's not so much because they say what I would like them to say about me, but they add value. They tell me what I need to hear. They help me stand up and really look at some things and make adjustments. And that person is Mr. Dave Durman. Mr. Dave Durman, you know, one of the major people there at Empower and the new EFC. He is a person that came on board and kind of like misunderstood and not supported, but he did something for me and my family that we will forever be greater. He gave us our life back and helped us really to get real about life. Mr. Dave Durman, can you give the audience, first say hello and give them a brief introduction on your greatness?
Well, thanks, fam. Thanks very much. So I've been in martial arts since I was 13 years old. I've got a couple of different skills under my belt, so to speak. So I'm 6th degree in Kenpo and 2nd degree in Shotokan and kickboxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, blue belt. I've been running EFC in Australia since 2008, 2009. I moved over here to the US with my family to help run it over here. And now I'm heading up the new software development team. Over here for EFC. So we're producing new CRM, billing systems, apps, the whole works, and chatting to martial arts people about their business as I go.
So let me ask you a question. When you heard the term warrior's mindset, everybody has a warrior's mindset, but how do you view your application for your own warrior's mindset?
Perseverance. You know, it's one of the things we used to teach our kids all the time. We still do. One of the black belt principles: perseverance and indomitable spirit. Yeah. So never quitting. You set your mind in place as to where you've got to go, and you do everything you can to get there. Okay. You know, it's the old saying: the only true failure is the failure to start. But once you start, you've got to keep going.
Okay.
So,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
So how would you apply the mind, body, and spirit? Because a lot of times people, we talk about the mind and we talk about the body, but without the chi and the ki, it's kind of hard to have the flow. How do those three things really intertwine into the warrior's mindset?
Yeah, well, it's something that our society now doesn't really teach. I think one of the few areas that you can get those skills is through martial arts. Mm-hmm. So if I go back to our school, for instance, our Kenpo school, we do a 24-hour black belt grading. And people go, wow, 24-hour black belt grading? Why do you do that? Well, it's to teach those things. You might have learnt your skills. I mean, if you're doing a black belt grading, you've learnt the skills. You've probably already demonstrated them in class. But have you demonstrated them under immense pressure? Mm-hmm. have you demonstrated them to a point where you've got to go beyond your body's capabilities? I mean, I know some of your background. I know that you will say skills are great, but if you can't do them under pressure, if you can't do them in that instance, then what good are they to you? And I remember we had a school at one point that was very focused on sports karate. And they were great in the ring, but get them out of the ring, not so great.
Right.
So it comes down to when we do our 24-hour black belt grading, we do that so that we can stress them by not letting them sleep.
Right.
We stress them by continual physical overload. They're not doing a class and having an hour break. They get 2 hours tops break in that whole 24 hours.
Right.
And it's about breaking them down so that they can you can build them up and push them through their physical and mental barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is what you're talking about with the warrior's mindset. Where do you learn that in society except in a martial arts school?
And it's interesting that you say that because that leads to the next question. You know, Simon Sinek always talks about the why. But really, the why is your purpose. I think when you went through hell, you can't really know a why or a purpose until you're going through a hell like that. You know, what is it that you would say was your hell that I don't care what nobody see, it's that hidden jewel that gets you up in the morning, it gets you going, and nobody will, not even your family will understand that. But you can taste it, you can smell it, you can feel it. What would you say was that moment that defined your why and your purpose?
Well, that's a hard question. what is your motivator? I think throughout your life, your motivator changes. I think, you know, at certain times in my life, it was, you know, getting a house. It was making it to the next day. It was doing that. And then I had kids and my kids became my motivator.
Right.
Well, now my kids are grown up and they've moved out.
Right.
And so what's my motivator now? So, you know, your motivators, the why, like you said in Simon Sinek's book, is going to change throughout life. And so is your direction.
Yeah.
So, you know, my motivator now in driving Kinaptic and EFC is how do we make other people successful? How do we make other martial arts schools successful? I love seeing a small school grow to a large school. You know, we've got a school in Australia that when we started with them, they've been going for 30 years, but when we started with them, they were like a $30,000 school. They now do nearly $200,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, through ongoing training, education, systems improvement, support, you know, so that's just mind blowing. There was one school owner who he came over to us from another billing company back in the day, and he had all his agreements, and he'd just given all his agreements to us, and his school burnt down that night, and total devastation. It was a $20,000 school at the time, total devastation, but all his agreements were in the boot of our car, in the trunk of our car, and he now has two schools. One runs at $60,000, one runs at $80,000. And that's partnership, coaching, development, growing, different techniques. And, you know, that's a great motivator. I love seeing those results. And I think, you know, it's if you've got a strong vision, that's great, but you need to see the steps along the way. I mean, that's why in martial arts we give belts, right?
Right. And it's interesting because we can get a little I'm always this kid that was always a rebel in Baltimore. When you grew up in East Baltimore, you weren't allowed to go to West Baltimore, South Baltimore, and all these neighborhoods. But I was always the guy that went to every neighborhood. And they was like, how are you able to go to all these neighborhoods? You're supposed to be getting beat up. Well, one of the things my parents always taught me is how to adapt to different situations. And, you know, when we look at the world of martial arts, there was one time you didn't have all these consultants. You didn't have all these people trying to tell you. I mean, one thing I learned, you know, is a man by the name, I don't know if you know him, his name is Nick Kokinas. And sometimes he would bring me in the office and he would say, Bam, so tell me about your school. And you would talk to him, then the phone would ring. And because he was older, you would think that, okay, about time he gets off that phone and talks to you, he'd say, so Bam, what were we talking about? So you forgot all about what you was talking about. You'll make it up. He said, no, that's not what we were talking about. And he's right. He was that focused. But what he said, whenever you find it hard to make your school work, grab the pen and a piece of paper and begin to tap it on the table.
Yeah. Tap the pencil. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't care what, how important is it for the motivator? Creativity brings about evolution and transformation. How is it to get, especially during COVID, sometimes all this stuff can cloud your reality of what is in front of you. How would you explain that? I mean, Mr. Dave, to someone, because they're being distracted by all this stuff.
Yeah, and that's a really valid point, actually. It's all well and good tapping the pencil and working out your plan and thinking about what you might do. But unless you start doing it, you're still not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So going with that mindset principle of tapping the pencil and planning, you've also got to make a decision.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anywhere if you don't make a decision. And even if it's the wrong decision, you're still heading in a direction, right? It doesn't matter if it's the wrong decision. You can change your decision. You can change your goal. I like to use the analogy of somebody sitting in the middle of the desert, and they can sit there and go, well, which way do I go? If I go that way, I might. By the time they make a decision, they've dehydrated and they've died. But if you just start walking in a direction, start going in a direction, you can always change your focus, but you're taking action. You've got to take action.
Do you think that we're in a state of we call it on the street, you can't, and it's funny, this is my podcast, so I can get as raw as I want to. The one beautiful thing about hustling, somebody say, hey, this is what I need you to do, get rid of that. There's no blueprint, there's nobody watching over you. What you got to do is take whatever that person gave you and you got to bring back a return on their investment. How you do that, that's on you. That's all creative ingenuity and ability to be able to adapt. But if I spend too much time with people overanalyzing what to do, that's what you're saying. But isn't that the state you guys, don't get me wrong. I love martial arts, but come on, you got so many consultants and these people trying to tell this man what to do and he got to make rent.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. So if you go back to the analogy of being in the desert and you start heading in one direction, and then you go, oh, I might go that way, and I might go that way, and then I might go that way, and you keep changing your direction, you're just going to walk in circles, and you're still going to die, right? So you've got to pick a direction and run with it. It was something, when I was in the Navy doing survival at sea, that was one of the things they said is pick your direction and go. Sooner or later, you're going to hit land.
Right. Yes. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. You got me laughing here.
But it's true, right? So, full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes. You just got to keep going that direction and keep driving it. If you've got the right will and you've got the right vision in mind, you're going to succeed in some way. Now, that's not to say you're not going to change your direction a little bit here and there. It's not to say that you're not going to, but you're not going to reverse and go the other way. That's the knee-jerk reaction to go, it's getting hard, I'm going to go the other way. And I think, that goes back again to that perseverance and indomitable spirit that we said. Things do get hard. You just have to keep driving through them.
Got to keep pushing. And the interesting thing when we talk about as you're pushing forward, what I think about during a holiday, I got books everywhere. My wife tell you, he's always reading. I just got books everywhere. So I got this one book I picked up. I had these spiritual moments where it's like, man, it's something in that book. So I'll pick it up. And it's one book about this lady. She's a multimillionaire. The name of the book is called Do It. So her whole life is not doing any planning. She just do it. She got she got six kids, got a husband. She's a housewife, but she's a multimillionaire because she just do it. And she makes her plans on just doing. And I said, hold up, man, that's fake it till you make it. That's the thing that I learned with ESC called fake it till you make it. Because I think to me, and how important is it to make sure all the things you learn complement who you are?
Yeah.
Especially to make faster results during COVID. This is like war. You can't afford to slip up purposely. So everything got to be a complement to you progressing forward. If not, how important is that, Mr. Dave?
Yeah, well, let's take that into account. So COVID, schools shutting down and so forth. You could sit there in your lounge room and go, I'll just wait till it all opens up again. Mm-hmm. It's not going to achieve anything for you. It's not going to help your students. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help your income. It's not going to help you. You're going to, you know, just going to die under bills from your rent and no income, right? So you've got to adapt. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're saying. You've got to do something. You've got to do it. When you say just do it, I know that's a slogan for a company, right? But it's true. It's just do it is important. You can sit there and contemplate it. I think they call it analysis paralysis.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You sit there and you just think about it and do nothing. You've got to take action. And there's there's that joke about the guy who's on the ocean and his boat sinks and he's in the water and he says, "Please God, save me."
Right.
And this
right.
Another boat comes along and they say, "Hey, we can save you." And he says, no, God's going to save me." And the boat goes off. And this happens four times.
Yeah.
And he finally dies, drowns. He goes to the pearly gates and he says, "God, why didn't you save me?" He says, "I sent you four boats." But you've got to take action to get on the boat. You've got to take action to take the opportunities that arise or even make your opportunities. So I know, like, you know, your school at the moment, you've Miss Kimber's taken the time, that the downtime during the day, and she's teaching kids schooling, right?
Right?
So you've got kids coming out, and I know that you're not alone there. I know a lot of martial arts schools are doing that. They've identified that they've got space, they've got time, and there's parents who really can't, or for whatever reason, homeschool their kids.
Right.
But the schools are shut.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want them in a large environment of kids. So martial arts school steps in, says your kids can come here and they can do their schooling here. They're going to get exercise. They're going to get fed. They're going to get social connection, right? And they're going to do their schooling. And then they're not going to, you know, send you with gray hairs. I mean, my kids did to me.
Yeah. I mean, And when we talk about just moving, you know, I believe just doing it. You know, we fake it till we make it, and eventually you'll make it. But when you get to that point, because when I think of, and once again, I need to go back to my genuine experience. You know, even though I did negative things, we did do statistics. Because even though that's what people understand, even the criminal got to do statistics, you got to know I know it sounds crazy. Statistics is you got to know how much we sold, how much we made, and what shorts we got. If you don't, the difference is on the street is that you, this is Bam's podcast, you lose your life. That's the difference on the street. Mm. But do you realize that most people in martial arts schools, even business, don't even understand statistics?
Yeah, I do. I can see it. Yep.
I mean, it's like, how do
well,
you...
Well, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, beyond that too is your customer service, right? And, well, keeping in contact with your customers. When you're out doing that selling, you're going, do you want, like, let's get some more business. Let's get some stuff happening, right? So statistics and looking after your customers. Remember that same famous person probably told you to shut the back door.
That's right.
So how do you shut the back door in an environment like this when – there is no door. They're not coming in.
Yeah.
And that is, you've got to make sure that you're looking at your statistics. Who's being engaged right now by my school? Who's not being engaged? I need to contact them to get them re-engaged. So those things, if you're not doing your statistics, you don't know who's turning up to your Zoom class or who's turning up to your school or how many people you've lost. So you've got to do your statistics first to know where you are.
Yeah.
And then you've got to take action on those statistics to re-engage.
Right. And when you talk about the hole in the bucket, I'm going back to because that's my unique brand. I'm going back to the street aspect. You don't have to sell on the street. All you have to do is give great customer service to the people that's buying, and I'll use the word death, and they will buy death all day. I hate to say it that way, but guess what? It's the same thing in business. If you take care of the people, am I correct? With your love, with your passion, with your purpose, one of the things we do, we don't have to market. We just attract. And those people stay with you for a long time. That's something.
If you look after them.
Yeah.
If you look after them.
If you look after them, you treat them like your kids. Come
yeah.
on. Joe Keenan said that. He treated everybody like family. That's why he will forever be missed. Because he judged no one. He treated everyone with love. And that sort of thing, you don't have. Because what is the greatest marketer? Referrals. Right?
Yep.
I mean, tell
yep.
us how important that is right there over any other type of marketing that you may have.
Well, I mean, it's marketing that doesn't cost you anything for starters. And, but we're more likely to buy something or use a service that's been recommended to us
mm-hmm.
because we trust our friends. I mean, you hear people say all the time, you know, I don't like selling. But how many times have you said to somebody, go buy this brand, go see this movie,
yeah.
go
yeah.
listen
yeah.
to this
that's
song, right? That's selling, right? But
yeah.
it's referral-based selling. And so when it comes to go visit this martial arts school, don't go to the one down the road, go to this one.
Yeah.
And here's why. You know, they were great, great technique. They were family oriented. They looked after me. And even when I left, they didn't cause me a whole heap of hassle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but so go there. And that referral is everything.
Yeah. And you know, when we talk about that, when I think of like right now during COVID, and one of the things as we analyze business, one of the things that Tony Robbins talked about, and you can correct me how important this is, first, people are in pain. People are hurting. When people come, especially us as leaders, sometimes we got to shut up and just listen. Listen to their pain and listen to their story. And then provide a solution based upon their story that your company can provide for them. And as Tony Robbins say, they will stay with you. Why? Because people want trust in relationships, not sales. How
yeah.
important is that in the new age of business as we're going forward?
Yeah, well, so I think the Tony Robbins reference that you're making there is people do things to gain pleasure or avoid pain, but they're always going to take avoiding pain over gaining pleasure, right? And when you take that further into your analogy with sales, you know, I like to say to any salespeople that work for me, don't sell them what you've got, sell them what they need.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, I might have three products, but you only need one of them. If I sell you the one that you need, you're happy.
Yeah.
Then later on, there's an opportunity to arise where I can sell you another product. If we take it in, you need physical activity. Join my cardio kickboxing program. You don't have to do kung fu.
Yeah.
Join my cardio kickboxing program. And then what happens is they start to, their needs start to change. And if we're not continually assessing their needs, we'll lose them.
Mm-hmm.
So that person that started cardio kickboxing, for you, I think you do a kickboxing class, right?
Yeah. yeah.
They might come in and they do kickboxing because they want to get fit and that's their need. But then as they get fitter and fitter, that need is now different. They're fit now. They don't have that need anymore. So what's their next need? Well, my next need is some other sort of physical development. It might be a different challenge. It might be I want to learn to fight. It could be anything. But, okay, so now put them into your kung fu program. Yeah, now put them into your point MMA program. You know, so it's about assessing their needs, but reassessing their needs over and over and over and over again. If you just go, well, this person joined for fitness, and then you keep them in that program, they're going to get fit, and then they don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
They're gone. So that goes back again to touching the clients and keeping in touch with them and keeping communication with them.
And when we look at business on a you know, on a full scale. I know as a consumer, I think the one thing that I think that's so consistent in our society today is bad customer service. People who think that they deserve to just, it's like, you know, you ask somebody, you get, you know, men don't even hold the doors open for women no more. I mean, our morals and principles are so screwed up. So even with the DoorDash at one time, they were great. But now because you automatically got to give a tip, their service is so bad. You'd be like, hold up, how important is it to look through and try to be that one business that will do whatever it takes to give great customer service, even if it's a hello, bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the difference between a successful business and not. So I'll give you an example. At my school in Australia, if it's an old EFC principal, I'm sure you do it too, but if a student doesn't turn up this week for training, we're on the phone to them. Hey, Bam, didn't see you this week. Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I've just been busy, you know. I was working late at night and I couldn't get in. Okay, well, when are you coming in? Oh, I'm going to come in on Tuesday. Then they don't turn up again. So it's, hey, Bam, you said you were going to turn up and you weren't there. What's happening? Oh, I'm having a real hard time getting to class at night. I said, well, you know, we've got a daytime class. You know, so it's about that connection. Now, I went back to training here at a local school, and I'm working on Australia as well while I'm here. So a lot of my evenings, I'm just not getting finished until the classes are done.
Mm-hmm.
3 months, not one call. 3 months, not even a, we haven't seen you. Nothing. So what's my connection to that school now? It's just somewhere I haven't trained for 3 months. It's not somewhere that wants me. Right. Whereas if they called me and said, hey, where are you? There's a connection there. We're keeping that connection. Even if I'm not training, they're on the phone to me every week. Hey, where are you, Dave? Why aren't you there? You know, hey, well, I'll tell you what, come in during the morning and we'll do a private lesson. We'll get you back in. You need to be training. Right. So if you're not doing that, if you're not providing that customer service, your customers are just, well, they're customers, not clients.
Yeah.
They're customers, not students.
Yeah.
They're customers are people that come and buy something and leave and you never see them again. Clients and students are people that come over and over and over again and you've got a connection with them.
And you know, it's interesting. And how do you look at this? When I tell people, we're into relationships now. While everybody else is trying to get a customer, I want relationships.
Yeah,
I want you to be around my kids. I'm around your kids. When we come in, even when we're on Zoom, we do virtual high fives. We do hugs. When I turn that camera, when I turn that mic on, at the end of every class, I'll tell every student, turn the mics on. And then I say, all right, what y'all got to say? And they're like, thank you, sir. See you later. Be safe. Great day.
Yeah.
So when you hear that, that's kind of like that thing where I remember – one of EFC's, I think it was Steve Doyon, and he used to have a gong at the end of his class. And he would say, before you walk out, when you walk out, if it was a great class, hit the gong. Well, to me, you got to be trying to hear that back from them students. You got to be watching for that. How important is it for you to, I mean, we got to adapt. It's no longer about teaching martial arts right now. It's connecting to emotional stress and fear and anxiety and all that stuff. How important is that lesson in connection right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny you bring up Steve Doyon. That's his kickboxing I use. And
okay,
teach.
All right.
But he's got a great kickboxing program. If you ever need a kickboxing program, go check out Steve Doyon. You know, in our school, we have a culture that at the end of every class, all the students line up and say thank you to the instructors.
Mm-hmm.
They come up and they shake hands, thank you to the instructors. And so there's a personal connection every class with every person in the class. And it's not something we forced upon that. It's just something we actually got our leadership students to start to do it and everybody else just followed, right? And so now it's a thing. Everybody lines up and says thank you to the instructor, shakes hand, thank you. And the instructor gets to say, hey, great front kick today, or yeah, still you're working really hard in that today. Or, you know, so there's that connection. So what you're doing there with the Zoom is just as important as like getting that feedback, letting them have their connection. Well, you might not have them physically there to shake hands with, but that's a phenomenal way of doing it. With if you're doing Zoom classes, is just open up their mics and let them all say thank you, let them all have a cheer, let them be part of it and give gratitude, because gratitude, we know, goes an enormous way.
And how important is it for, you know, because we're used to a world where people come to your dojo and you're the man. You move, go. Now you're in a world where they can just block you out and they don't need you. This is the real world. I think it was Commander Muffet. When it's time to teach, it's time to perform. It's called, it's like theater. You got to engage. You know how hard it's easy to act on camera, but it's hard to act on theater because people are right there. You gotta move them bodies. You gotta get them clapped. Especially if you go to a parlor. You know what the parlor is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if they don't like get the parlor, they go throw some apples and oranges at you. So when I teach, how important is it for that instructor? I think when you have a lot of people, you should be listening to the person that's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
The person that's quiet. You know, not all the people. Don't get into the energy, because your leadership team should keep that energy going while you looking at the one that might be over there in the corner not participating.
Yeah.
That kid is what? Closer to making progress or what, Mr. Derman?
One class closer to black belt or one class closer to quitting.
I don't think people understand that. Some people, I'm telling you, they run in schools, they don't understand those concepts.
Yeah, and you're only ever as good as your last class too, right?
Did you hear what I said?
Oh, sorry. No, I was talking at the same time. What did you say?
I said some of them are consultants and coaches too. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you're only as good as your last class, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, you brought up Tony Robbins earlier. My wife did the first big Tony Robbins event on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching how they were doing that. And they were full on energetic, clapping, going, just like they would at a normal event. And they were engaging everybody to do the same thing. So they were running their Zoom class exactly the same way as they would run their normal class. Now, you don't have the energy of the people around you, like you said, your team leaders and the other people around you there, because you're in a lounge room watching the TV by yourself. But you did have their energy coming across the screen. And I think, I haven't had to do any Zoom classes like you've been doing, but so you're the master on that one, not me. But I have watched some of your stuff that you've been putting out, and that energy is there. I can see that energy. And so that's the important part. You've got to be able to engage. And like you said, the kid that would go under the radar, the one that's not doing much, you've got to be able to identify that person, call them out, you know, say, hey, Bam, come on, get going. You can do it better than that. Come on, I've seen you do higher kicks than that. Let's see your highest kick. Come on, let's go. And you've got to be able to identify that. So, you know, having a big screen. I don't know. Do you do it with a big screen so you can see everybody? Or
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of people doing that. They've got a big screen or two screens, and they're seeing everybody in the class. And so it's definitely challenging. But, hey, they're not late for class, right? They just turn on their telly.
But then you can highlight that person too. You know, it's so many things you can do. You can have them in a group and you call that person's name. You can highlight them. You know, one of the things that I think that especially will help a lot of people right now, and a lot of when you get old and you don't have any kids anymore, you don't kind of like think about this. But my 7-year-old kid know how to edit videos on TikTok. He knows how to edit videos on Facebook.
Can you get him to teach me? I don't understand TikTok at all. Yeah.
This whole thing was set up by my son, but I think what I'm saying is that simplicity is the key to success. And I think that if instructors, if we all step back and look at our kids, they're smarter than any other generation before their time. You know, they're all, and now they're going to be even more smarter because they're on these things every day during school. Maybe Damon John said, he said, next time your kid is on the computer, ask them how they're doing what they're doing rather than telling them to shut it off. Our son runs our whole school on his phone. He texts everything. I don't do nothing. I don't even know how to put the computer on. But how is it important for our egos to get out the way and really accept this new technology? Because remember, all this stuff is on PlayStation. Kids that are on PlayStation, they can play with kids all over the world. But if you don't have a kid, you would never know that. So how important is it for us to take a step back and put our egos out the way and really begin to learn the heartbeat of the consumer or the kids and try to connect with them and get their assistance and help so we can make up for that time that we done missed as old school martial artists?
Yeah, I think you answered the question. I think you answered the question in the question, and I think it is really important. You've got to adapt. So you've got to adapt. Go back to our in the desert analogy. You're walking in that direction, and you hit a mountain. Well, you're either going to go over it, or around it, or through it, right? And you've got to go past it. You can't just sit there and go, okay, well that's it. My journey's over.
Right.
So these challenges come up. You've got to find a way to adapt. And look, hopefully, you know, hopefully we won't be doing Zoom classes and only Zoom classes for a long time. But as you've said to me, I think we'll always be doing them. Even if our schools are open, there's going to be an opportunity now to attract people to our schools that aren't even in our area. Can you imagine that? So, you know, you could be doing your classes with your normal classes physically and have somebody in California doing the class with you. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not throw this away and go, okay, well, we can open our school again. We'll stop doing that. Let's add to the service that we're providing. Let's add another source of revenue. Let's add another source of being able to change somebody else's life that's not in our area.
Right, and I think you hit on something really important. I always believe that you should look outside your industry. And when you look at school systems spending so much money on virtual, you look at NFL spending so much money on virtual, you look at Hollywood spending so much money to make up for the lost money. Now, since these major billion-dollar corporations done adapted, there's no way they're going to throw all that away. Because when we come back, they still got to make up for the lost income that they put into a Wonder Woman. Or these things are making a major impact. So you're right. It's important for us to adjust because 50% will be virtual, 50% will be in person. And some parents will, I mean, even before we came here, Damon John had said this before anybody was doing this. He said, "Bam, I like pouring MMA, but how can they do it on the beach?" I'm like, "What do you mean on the beach?" Well, where are we, Mr. Derman?
Yeah, on a beach.
They can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what would you say to those guys that are, some people are still saying, "I'm a wait man. I'm just going to wait." What do you say to people who are just still waiting?
Yeah, if you're just sitting down waiting, then you might as well go get a different job. Seriously, because you're not going to be in business long. You're going to have to adapt. And like we just said, you know, I love what you just said about Damon John. How can they do it on a beach? The thing is they can, right? I mean, you know, with these things, I think you've got our product Budo Code, right? Budo Code is all about connecting to your students here and showing them your classes here. They can do their classes. They can do them at 1 o'clock in the morning if they want to, because bang, it's right there and you can put it on your big screen and it's there. So there's products being developed like Budo Code that are designed specifically for that, for that connection when you're not there. And okay, so all right, I need it during COVID, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to sell, I'm just using it as an example.
Right.
But I need it during COVID, but now I've got my class back open again. do I still need it? I say, yes, you still need it, because it's that, it's just adding to that customer service we were talking about before, adding to that flexibility. So that, that school that I was training at, imagine if he said, okay, well, you can't come to your classes at the moment, but go onto our app and do a training every day and register that you've done this training with me, and I'll mark it towards your classes. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, well, actually, I do have a dojo downstairs. I've got a dojo in my basement. Yeah. I could do that. Now, you know, I said I was a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Well, I did that under Professor Brian Glick and Shihan Jean Dunn. Brilliant BJJ people, as you know them. Brilliant. Well, they're in Brooklyn. I was in Australia. And I did all of that electronically. They would send me the classes. I would do the classes with my team. And then we would, I flew 13 people over from Australia to Brooklyn to do our grading, you know. And so it's been around for a while. It's just, we're not all using it. So how do we get into people's lounge rooms? How do we get to people on the beach? You're going to have to use technology. And you know, if your school is running right now on technology, and you open up, don't throw the technology away. Just stay connected. Keep going with it. Add to it. Add value. Add value. Add value. Yeah, phenomenal.
And that's what we're gonna do. You know, I'm never gonna let it go, because this is what I wanted to do. That could be your exit plan. You know, I have one of the how would you define wealth? Okay. I think many people, I'll tell you mine, and I think many people probably never ask themselves that question. For me, wealth is coming from the ghetto and being the man I am today and knowing that I'll never have to be on welfare again. That's wealth for me. I can smile with my kids, you know, and when you come from the streets, you didn't see millions of dollars and you realize that you were so unhappy. So the real happiness is a conversation with a person like you. I asked my students, I said, name one great thing that happened during COVID. I ate dinner with my family. I never been able to do that before COVID. So we can talk about all the bad things, but now I can sit there and have a real moment of engagement. My sons are saying, I love you more times. So that to me is wealth. How would you help a person define what their personal wealth is? Because maybe that's the question. Ooh.
Yeah, well, that's a harder question. I wish I hadn't asked that one.
You're a wild man. You're a guru, man.
my answer was going to be that wealth is different for everybody, you know. It's like that old saying, if you're worried about not having any shoes, talk to the man with no feet.
Right, okay.
You know, and so and wealth is going to be different for everybody. But how do you help somebody define what their wealth is? I think goes back again to what you're saying. You've got to talk to them and you've got to find out what their needs are. I think, you know, finding out what people need and not just beyond your, you know, hierarchy of needs. It goes right back to that, doesn't it? Because your first ones are food and housing, and it goes up to elevates through those. Is you've got to find out where they are on that hierarchy of needs. And go, okay, well, do you need the next level? I mean, they might not need the next level. They might be happy where they are.
Yeah.
You know, my idea of wealth might be, I've got a roof over my head, I've got food in my belly, my kids are okay, and that's it. I'm wealthy.
Yeah.
But you might want to go that extra level. I want to be remembered for something, or I want to be recognized for something. I want to add to other people's wealth. And so that goes through there. So if you're going to help somebody identify what their wealth value is, then you've got to address what their needs are.
So when you're talking, I think about this man again, you know, this wise man. He used to say, God, family, and business. Since I've been using that principle, I call it God, family, community, and business, because if you take care of your community, then your community will take care of your business. But
yeah.
how would you help somebody? Because it's one thing to think about wealth and you all over the place. But when that man was saying those three principles, I think do you think he was talking about, let's define what you want your higher purpose to be, let's define what you want your family to be, and let's define what you want your business to be. It could he been talking like, if we wanted to give people three jewels, because, you know, you ever go to a meeting and they walk away, oh, man, I got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of stuff. They didn't get 3 points. They just got a lot of stuff. How can we help them get three takeaways or one takeaway, Mr. Derman, to help? Because people are just still asleep.
Yeah, so when you say that man that said that, I'm guessing you're talking about our friend Nicholas?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So knowing what he believed and also studying it myself now, you know, he's referring to God flows within all of us. Mm-hmm. So God is one. Mm-hmm. And then family is your exclusion, your community. And I think when he says family, he means your community. So you and I, family, right? You're part of my community.
Right.
So, and that's where he went family. So you're right in adding community, you're just defining his family more. And that's why when you were dealing with him, you felt like you were family. And you've said it to me lots of times, because his community was his family. And he believes that God is throughout all of us, and so that we are all part of the one thing, and so we are all family. And then business helps those things run.
Yes, sir.
So that God family business, God family community, they're side by side. Mm-hmm. Business is his priority, because you've got to work from the top down. You can't in that example, if you don't have. Well, let's take it back to what you were talking about earlier, about how you were in business, but you weren't being community focused.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. You were in business, but you were taking some advantages.
Yeah, I was destroying the community. That's right.
So change that now. So that puts business first.
Yes.
See? So you can take that business and put it first, but it's not necessarily going to help the community or be at one with God.
Right.
So that's where it comes down to, is your business needs to reflect the other principles.
That's right.
Your business needs to reflect caring for your family, right, and keeping the one, and I'm just going to say the one rather than God, or we can go God, Buddha, whatever, or, you know, all the one involved. And so that's why it's important, because it goes back again to the why. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it just to get money and survive, or are you doing it to add value to your family and your community and to the planet?
And as we close, one of the things that you say, that's why I get up at 3 o'clock. Because if I could sell death, I can give life. That's why I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. My commitment is.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that still. I still don't know how you do that.
Somebody used to call you when you was it.
This pretty face needs 8 hours.
I don't know, man. I think when you're passionate and committed to the one, I don't use the alarm clock. I just get up. I'm just happy. I just, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'm grateful for that. But I think, you know, even our relationship, because I think sometimes everybody wants yes people. And I always say, I think, and that's another thing come from the street, when a person can tell you what they need to hear and y'all can have disagreements and y'all can yell and y'all can like, yes, get out my face to get you. But then we can come back from that as men and say, all right, man, I apologize. I mean, I understand, but our relationship and our goal is more important. I believe we're living in a society where we can't have positive conflict or respectable debate. Without that, how can we grow as men and as a society?
So that goes back to your very beginning. You've gone full circle. So the warrior mindset.
Yes, sir.
So the warrior fights his battle, but once the battle's over, we can be friends again, right?
Yes, sir.
See, because there's a certain amount of forgiveness in being a warrior.
Yes, sir.
And you and I, well, you see, you're being frank, you and I have had some big, big arguments on the phone and what have you.
Yeah.
And And I can remember one conversation where he said, I'm going to come down to your office. And I said, come on.
yeah, My wife was like, what are you doing? Going outside.
But then we go out and we have lunch together and we have family time together. So, I mean, you know, that's important. Everybody's going to have their challenges, but you've got to let it go. You can't be hanging on to stuff. And that's part of the warrior. The warrior needs to be focusing forwards, not behind them. Yeah. We're not going to get anywhere if you're always looking over your shoulder at what used to happen or what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. You can't move forward because you're directionless. I mean, imagine driving your car and always looking over your shoulder. You're going to smack into something, right? So it comes back to, I think you've gone full circle back to your warrior mindset, and your warrior mindset has to be, I fight my battles, but then I let them go so that I can win the war.
Yes, sir. Well, I thank you, Mr. Durbin. You know, once again, your family, it don't matter where we at, working together, where we at, but, you know, I always respect someone that tells me what I need to hear and show me the respect that you have. And, you know, it's not a commercial for EFC Empower, guys. It's just a connection between me and Mr. Durbin. And anything you got coming up you want the world to know about, or the technology events or anything before we close
up? Yeah, look, we're just releasing our new CRM right now. We're putting new clients onto our CRM right now, which is replacing our full billing system, and it's written around the school and around the student journey. So you're going to see that come out. So keep an eye out for that. It's called TAP, Total Accountability Partner, TAP. Yeah. So, thanks for the plug there and letting me get that out. But you'll see it come out. And we've been working really hard on that to get it going. And it's been written by martial arts school owners, myself and Christopher Folmer, who's got his own martial arts school. And so we've written it with the school owner in mind, and about that student, that quiet student that you talked about earlier, the one that goes under the radar. We've got it so that you can identify them more easily. I think Empower has got an event coming up soon that's going to be a virtual event. It's going to be a worldwide virtual event. So you get some good education and learning from that. And so love to see everybody onto that. Outside of that, when are you buying me lunch?
Yeah, that's serious. But we got to get out, man, when they let us out, you know, so that's a date for me, you and the family, all right?
For sure.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right, be blessed.
You too, bye-bye.